What were they?
Administrative Order 15 by Governor Egan in 71, and Administrative Order 36 by Governor Hammond last September. They tasked the disaster office with a coordinating responsibility for all state agencies and also with the federal agencies that get involved in disasters. And the act puts us on statute to do that same sort of thing, but naturally more extensive writing and provisions. In the very last of it, back in 28 and 29, we get into some definitions of relationship to civil defense, and are recommending an increase in the governor's authority from $500,000 and $250,000 to $1.5 million, respectively, for expenditures from the Disaster Relief Fund for an actual disaster or an impending disaster.
That's the bottom of page 29.
Yes, that's right. And then we eliminate the word natural as it exists in statute so that we're not tied to a natural disaster. Certainly there are disasters such as a fuel tank farm explosion or the one in Bethel that are not, in our definition at least, natural. And we just feel it's another housekeeping cleanup.
Under the new federal law, now that copies, I hope you all received this in the federal law and regulations. When the governor goes to the president with a request for a declaration, he has to, in his request, he has to state a dollar amount that the state's going to expend for which no federal funds will be requested. It says, and the law says a substantial amount. Well, prior to that law in 74, each state, they had a formula based on population, and Alaska was the lowest. We had to pay $350,000. But they were in the process of updating that because of the oil pipeline was got the go-ahead and all that when the 74 law. So we barter with them. We start low and deal with them. We've got the last two at $250,000.
Right. Bethel was
less than we used to.
I'm more, Mr. Chairman, I'm more interested in some of the emergency power provisions. Maybe you can tell me a little more about where to look rather than me trying to read every page while we're sitting right here. I'll have to do that before I vote on them on the floor. But
what sort of emergency power are you?
Well,
electrical or?
I can recall, I think Mr. Johnson might recall, before my senior down here, while we were putting together on the state level emergency civil defense plans in Anchorage immediately after the quake and the next summer after, we talked about control of, well, there was strong talk of laws to control what the media said. In other words, we had testimony before us that all news releases that we put out in regard to the disaster and so forth had to go through the state psychiatrist, among other things. And some of these things sent me right up in the air because I think a well-informed public, regardless of how bad the news is, you've been shot and you're going to get shot again before morning, or you've been bombed, or you've had trouble, the quake has knocked you down, or you're going to have another one. I wonder what we've done in that area particularly. I can understand emergency powers for evacuation and all of these things, but when it comes to
page 27,
censorship powers.
The bottom addresses that specifically. Nothing in the chapter is on limitations.
Well,
nothing in the chapter 27 interferes with or allows interference with dissemination of news or comment on public affairs by any communication facility or organization, including but not limited to radio, TV, wire service, newspaper. And we are in the process of rather grossly revising our state emergency plan, which previously been called the National Disaster Plan, and that will address communications. What state agency does what releasing, and of course that further refines our or charge duties under the statute.
We've definitely spelled it out. We've definitely spelled that censorship ability out of here, which was something that I always swore I'd watch for. If they ever tried to put it in, they had me to fight for it, so I had to fight with it, so I had to make damn sure it's not buried in here.
Okay, well, does that answer your question?
Yes, it does.
Okay, good. Thank you. I think that's the extent of the...
It saved me the trouble of pouring for it and looking for it and seeing it.
I think that's the extent of the comments I have, Mr. Chairman.
Do you have any backup material, notes, or...
I just have these. I can certainly formalize them a little bit.
Okay, could you do that?
I'll deliver them back to you, sir.
Is the fiscal commentary with the fiscal note there, that was the...
Oh, yeah, I was going to ask about that, too.
You all covered through almost second by second.
It shows no...
There's no fiscal impact per se. There, it might be construed to be a fiscal impact when we talk about increased amount of authority. But if you have a certain amount in a disaster fund, it can be spent. All we're saying is that this gives the governor the authority, and recognizing present day costs is about what it's doing. A half $1 million to Fort Bethel, if the state chose to do it virtually on their own, would have been wiped out in pretty short order.
But as far as personnel and anything
the
like
routine
that,
kinds of fiscal impact, there are none. Also.
That's
same old bunch. You can't get rid of me.
Yes.
Do you have the...
I think I've got a transmittal letter. I've got the governor's transmittal letter.
Just that contains quite a bit of information.
What is that?
That isn't enough to turn me against it.
Well, you know, any additional information or comments would just help me possibly answer questions on the floor, because I, you know, I have no problem with it myself, but I'm going to have to. Okay, are there any other questions? What's the pleasure of the committee?
I said, with this, the one thing I got to say against it is that we had General Lee.
Mr. Chairman, I move that we pass out our Senate Bill 176. How you feel?
John?
Okay, John?
We got it.
We'll pass it out.
Well, they do pass.
Thank you.
Hopefully we'll never have another General Isabel.
Yes, sir. Well, I remember that guy on the radio.
Isabel.
He ordered me to do something.
Oh, General Isabel. Oh, yeah.
I didn't know who it was, you know, and I said, who?
There's some right here on the table.
Oh.
One for everybody.
I've never seen that before. Okay, thanks. Well, thanks very much. There's no further business before the committee, so we stand. Senator Ziegler is with us here. Address this, so we'll take up bills that he's in.
What about putting out 39 and sending it on the next committee?
I move it out with
Okay, that way we get this out of here. Well,
what's
committee
the
substitute? Yes. Please do.
Sit down, Senator. Okay. I thought you had people you wanted
to. I do have, but I want to get it out of here for
all
the reasons why.
Okay, then the motion is to
accept committee substitute, move it out with individual recommendation.
I move to accept the committee substitute, move it out with individual recommendation.
Okay, any objection to the motion? Hearing no objection.
How are you talking about the difference in the committee substitute?
Mm-hmm. I will, as soon as he's done. Okay. I don't want to get in a fight with somebody else.
Okay. What is Senate Bill 39?
Huh? Go ahead, you sign.
It's been a long trip.
What in the hell is it?
It isn't necessary.
Salmon enhancement authorities involve southeastern Alaska very much.
Okay. I assume that you've done right by me.
As a matter of fact, I have. Too much, so.
The one I'm not sure that he hasn't done right out by is me, but that's all right. That's between him and I.
What the hell are you going to be doing? You
We'll win some, lose some. Sometimes we get rain, sometimes we get rained out. We had a Cthulhu calendar on Monday, as I recollect.
I wish it had bills on it.
We have a quorum. Thank you, Anna. Okay, we'll move on then to Senate Bill 17. Bill, I'm sure you're aware, is very dear to Senator Ziegler's heart.
Right, I would appreciate the committee's moving it out, and I won't take your time. It's self-explanatory. We have our share of old timers who would prefer to stay in Ketchikan rather than go to Sitka. One of the prettiest parts of the whole picture is we already have the site acquired. The city of Ketchikan and Asher have made land available right next to an elderly housing thing, which just was approved and that will be constructed soon. I can get it to the, through here and through finance, speaking realistically. And then get it to the House plan. Maybe something might come up, I hope so. You have your own finders, one in Palmer, you have one in Fairbanks, you have one in Anchorage, and you have one in Sitka.
I was thinking of phase three at home.
Sure. And you sort of have one in Kotzebue. It keeps disappearing, but...
Okay. Is it jacked up again now, or is it sunk away?
I have your seat, sir.
At 1:30, the meeting starting?
Right on time.
It's getting started, eh?
We started it right on time. Your time is wrong this time, Bill.
No, I was in your seat.
My time's wrong?
Honestly, it is. It is 2 minutes.
Yeah, I came a minute late.
It's 2.5 minutes after 1:30.
Okay, Chair would entertain a motion.
Well, maybe Senator...
We're even, Bill.
East from southeast.
Okay. Senator Ray, we have before us Senate Bill 17. Has to do with constructing and equipping a Pioneer's home in Ketchikan. And we just heard testimony from Senator Ziegler.
I didn't want to waste the committee's time, so I didn't put up more than 30 seconds.
We did have some backup provided for it on potential overhead and over the years, per year, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's all here, I see.
Could it possibly be higher than it is anywhere else in the state? I think so, could it?
Should be a little bit cheaper than anyplace else.
It ought to be.
Should be. Yes, sir.
If it isn't, I would expect something's wrong if it's in your bill.
Any questions?
Well, you guys have already discussed it, so if I wasn't here, I would
just
pretend that I wasn't here when this bill came.
We just listened to the good senator. We didn't discuss it.
We didn't discuss it at all.
No,
okay.
I wasn't here when I
saw you.
The chair.
The chair.
I don't hear
anything. It takes one manager, one clerk, one cook, three cooks.
Chair would entertain a motion.
The thing he didn't tell you is that it rains so much in Ketchikan, nobody wants to stay in it. That ain't true, is it?
I'll move it out with an individual recommendation.
Okay. Any objection? Hearing no objection, we'll move it out with individual X. Let's see.
I think we ought to put amendment to 4 or 5 other places in, though.
I'm sure that would be done somewhere along the turnpike.
Did you know where it was here, Bill?
Yeah, I will.
It will be.
It'll be in there, don't worry.
Dove call is against this.
What we ought to do is put one in Juneau and Ketchikan and kill the one in Sitka.
It's overage and great.
Yeah.
Why not?
Did we have any other senator that you would want to comment on?
We have a resolution.
That's good.
Simple, or a current resolution pertaining to recreational groups. Or groups.
Oh, okay. That would be House or Senate Concurrent Resolution 23.
I believe that.
Yeah, that's.
Well, I don't know. There might be some support for the darn thing. It doesn't do anything except.
Okay. How is it marked, Ed? Is it marked too fast?
Excuse me.
Is it marked individual?
Individual. Put individual right there, would you? With individual.
Well, didn't I mark individual on it?
I don't see it.
Well, you're over on the Health, Education, Welfare report.
Wrong one.
Excuse me, somebody's in there.
Well, it's simply, to be very frank with the committee, I put the thing in as the request of organizations, the Juno Duplicate Printing Club, and we enjoyed a very nice weekend, like leaving Ogden Bay at 2:30 on Sunday morning and running up to Haines and Skagway and back. And it seems to me that it would be particularly applicable to set the pioneers, Boy Scouts of America, or the Juno swimming team, have their chance, so this would be a wonderful thing for the kids. And it's hard to see how the ferry system could lose money by making group reductions. I think has some merit. Or if the pioneers in section wanted to come over and visit Senator Ray, for example, if 30 of them get on the bus.
But I hope not. Mr. Chairman.
Senator Ray.
This is all very good, but I can't help but think of the poor other guy that doesn't do anything. He's got five kids, and he's working for somebody, or he's a small businessman. He's traveling there, and sitting right next to him is somebody traveling for a half price, or in some instances, free. I don't know. Just because they happen to be belong to a recreational group.
But the Sierra Club, for example, isn't the one that you're doing.
Well, that's the whole thing. That was why we're...
You can argue this out of the coin, so there's no question.
No, I mean, I've always had a problem with it, even when, you know, as many state employees as in my district, and when that was a heavy thing with them, that they state employees would be able to go at the reduced prices or gummies you go basis. Geez, I just can't see it.
Well, isn't the argument on the other side that the costs go on, the costs are fixed? And isn't the idea of half revenue or 75% of the ordinary fare, isn't
well, depending
on
the
revenue?
Depending on the wear and tear of the equipment, of course. I mean, the machinery, as far as the vessel's machinery, I would suppose, but the wear and tear on the carpeting and on the rest of the stuff still is increased. It's an argument you can argue either side. That I just,
that's right.
Philosophically, it really gets to me.
Maybe we ought to have a fixed number, at least, whereby recreational groups of 10 or more. So if they tell me in the travel business that 10 is the magic number to get a discount on airlines fares and so on.
There'd be no objection.
All I know is that I got on, in the last time I traveled on the ferry, I got on in Petersburg at 11 o'clock at night. They had 1 1/3 staterooms available, and there was 150 people getting on. Who was riding on the ferry? I don't know. Because when the morning came and all the doors opened up here, all the crewmen came on. They were all deadheading.
Well, whom did you end up with?
No, we got the one deal. It was firemen. It was a firemen's convention. And we got the one and one-third is they had three bunks in one place, you know. So they put one woman in with two other women. I'm not kidding. That's all I had. 100 and some people got aboard.
Okay.
But, what can you say? Jesus is like a motherhood deal, you know?
If when the Sierra Club travel group goes to down by Ketchikan by way of Kuppernauk Island and all of the other ones, each time when they come back from one of these, they recommend some more closures.
I have a recommendation for one amendment, and I realize it still doesn't solve something that I've always had a problem with, too, and that is freebies. Maybe we ought to give the taxpayers money to them to pay marine transportation for bookkeeping purposes, but I'd like to put in on page, on line 25, or line 26, initiate a program whereby recreational groups composing 10 or more members, but they'd have to be 10 or more traveling, too.
Yeah, but you got it. You got recreational groups. What is the definition of a recreational group? That could be almost anything.
It could be the Thursday night subcommittee meeting or something.
Yeah, that's what I mean. I think that
I think my objection is
authorized groups
is coming. Well, who's going to authorize it?
Well, you'd have to have a state
authorization. I think what comes down to is the word recreation.
I'll authorize.
Well, recreation will cover it. It could be any kind of a group for that matter. For example, I don't like the Dickens that the Juno swim team going down to Petersburg would be a recreational group that they would. It wouldn't even be a civic group.
Well, let's make it intramural sports groups if we're going to do that.
Well, then you couldn't get the bridge club in under intramural sports.
Boy, this does cover everybody, right?
Well, this covers anybody.
Students and old timers.
Anybody, five guys could get together and be anything they wanted. Say, hey, we're the bowling team. Well, it's a recreational group. We're going to travel free down there.
That would be another group that could make the application for the reduced rates. But actually, doesn't the resolution just ask that somebody look into it or they consider it?
Well, you're requesting to direct the division to initiate the program. In other words, that initiate means that you want to put the program in. I don't know.
Well, you're talking about a space available basis, and that's just space that, would go begging.
On the upper rear deck?
Well, it does say space available, and
it wasn't the intent to take the full premium passengers and say, well, we're sorry, we're all booked up with this discount group. It was only when there would be space available that otherwise, as you point out, be going to waste.
When we had some of these bills before us, Kevin, I don't think there's been a year that there hasn't been something on this order before State Affairs before. Some of the arguments that were brought up is that the 50% fare, or the reduced fare person, nobody says anything about the availability of staterooms to them. So a reduced fare person that is traveling on a space available basis can be the first come, first served to get himself a stateroom, and some first class passenger don't have it available to them. That was testified in previous years.
Well, that's the part is if you're Mark and Juno and you got a reduced passenger and he's paying nothing and gets a stateroom and somebody gets on to Petersburg going paying a first class fare and he has to sit up in the sun deck.
The language in here about two Alaska ports, that was something that we worked out in committee a few years ago to make sure that they didn't do it from Seattle. That's a good protection.
I also, Mr. Chairman, back on line 26, and I suppose this is not as much to do about very little, but I think we should have, and this is one amendment that I do propose, Mr. Chairman,
okay.
Formally. I move and ask, Mr. President, I move.
Well, that's Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
On line 26, initiate a program whereby Alaskan recreational groups, I move that the word Alaskan be introduced previous to recreational groups. So it's, without a doubt, it's Alaskan groups.
Well, I think could have the I Alpine think the jump. Idea with the...
Okay, you've heard
everybody
the,
should get on it. I agree that it's not just only sport groups or school kids should get the free ride, but everybody is going to get the free ride. But you got the old-timers riding for free now. And you got a bill in there that's allowing the school kids to ride for free. Why don't you just say anybody that wants to ride between November and April don't have to pay half fare and forget it.
And legislators.
Well, yeah. The motion before us is to insert Alaskan in there. That's the question we should be discussing. But Senator Curtula.
Mr. Chairman, I think it's self-evident that we could have the German Alpine Yodeling Group, and I don't support that. No, that's a cinch. So it must be Alaska.
Sure, better than the Finnish Alpine Yodeling
Group. Mr. Chairman, I would amend that. I would amend his amendment to include on line 6, the word Alaska. And I don't think you need it on line 8, but you do need it in the... title if you're going to put Alaska in there, you're going to need it in the title.
Right.
And I think that the line 8 would be all right, you wouldn't need that.
You want to include that in your amendment?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
He's amending it, he's correct.
Okay. Okay, further discussion on the amendment? Is there any objection to the amendment?
That's unanimous consent.
The unanimous consent has been asked for. Any objection? Hearing no objection, passes. Any other discussion? If not, the chair would entertain a motion.
Entertain.
When do we get a recreational group and they can entertain?
Well,
as long as they were Alaskans.
Bradley, where are you when we need you?
Well, I'm sitting in the catbird seat.
Eat the proxy. Mr. Chairman, I move it out. I move to bring it out with a individual recommendation.
Okay, you've heard the motion. Is there any objection? Hearing no objection, we'll move it out with individual recommendation.
How do you write?
We're happy that you give us the same consideration.
We've always sort of fought this one, and it's still a very great frustration because you don't know when it's taking revenue away and when it's just filling in on a space available. That's
if you'd like me, Mr. Sherman, to continue with the meeting, acting as Senator Bradley's agent. Why?
Oh, you're his agent?
No, I'm Fred.
To what do we owe the absence of Senator Bradley today?
He's mixed up some kind of a landlord-tenant dispute.
I didn't hear you volunteer to take place there.
You want to bring up Senate Bill 50 or is
it okay? It's
may
on its way.
Excuse?
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I would move and ask unanimous consent to take up Senate Bill 69.
Senate Bill 50 is the next one on the agenda.
Bill, as soon as I dig out,
is there anyone here that
we've got identical bills?
Every
time you get up, I'm going to ask if they bring up that one too.
I'll get Bradley. I'm trying to be nice with you guys. I'll get Bradley to come across when the landlord tenant bills start showing up now. Bradley,
okay,
over here.
We've got.
I'm certain.
You want to break the deadlock there, Bill?
Senate Bill 50 before us, an act relating to utilities and state rights of way.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Couture.
I requested it that it come to state affairs.
I hate these things.
I put a do not pass on it.
It's a terrible bill.
I asked to come to state affairs committee, and every utility entity in the state tells me that we passed this legislation, and I have the list of them. We passed this legislation, Senate Bill 50?
Senate Bill 50 is what we're...
It was on the calendar when was coming to the calendar when I recommended it come to us.
How do you know what it is? Well, you think I have a copy?
All it does is...
You should have a copy there, Bill. If not, we'll get you one.
A few years ago, we passed legislation that said, and apparently the federal government requires this, that if you have utilities on what will become right-of-ways of highways, and the state says that the state will pick up the tab for moving those utilities onto the access, or onto the adjacent area, rather, the federal government will go with you on the match funds, 90-10. Mm-hmm. This further defines it that if you now have utilities within right-of-ways, existing right-of-ways, and you want those moved off existing right-of-ways, the federal government will again match it if the state concurs with that. So this is an attempt to, when the state wants to move a utility off of their right-of-ways, to not break the company, that some of these companies have a tremendous amount of utilities on right-of-ways. And that's the reason for the legislation. They say every utility outfit in the state is in support of this, and they need it.
You pass it out unanimously.
Out of Congress.
Senator Huber.
I think that this does exactly opposite that, doesn't it?
No. It's exactly that.
This looks like the bill that the administration is trying to been getting through for years. It says that if the pole line is depreciated to 30% of its value, they pay that 30% instead of paying what it would cost to replace it somewhere else. Well, that's what I want to be damned sure isn't.
Cost of change, relocation, or removal means the entire cost incurred by the utility property attributed to the change, relocation, or removal.
Yeah, but that's what's already in the law. Now read the addition.
I know. So we less any cost for improvement or upgrading over and above the cost of functionally equal facility.
Oh, I had some material.
Yeah, we got a bunch of material here, different groups supporting.
And it says if there's any salvage value to it, then that'll be subtracted. There's nothing wrong with it.
Functional equal.
The Alaska Utilities.
If you hang a birdhouse on it, they won't pay for that.
There's a lot of backup here, but the Alaska Utilities Association, and I can give you the name of them, cover every utility, I think, in the state of Southern.
Unless they change this bill.
Recommends it. Alaska Utilities Commission, and I've had rural electric co-ops have called, come down and said that this is a bill that they have to have, and this is the bill they recommend. And I said, well, are you certain of it? Because I pulled it in, because I had the question you had when I pulled it, asked to come to committee. I said, no, this bill with the amendment, yeah. There is an amendment here.
You were just trying to make a deal with somebody. That's the only reason you had to come to your committee.
That is not
trying
true.
To make a deal with Matt Sue Power or something.
That's ridiculous patently. In fact, I haven't even heard from Matt Sue Power. He didn't phone.
Yeah, well, that's why you want to put it out now.
This guy electric assistance.
Senator Huber, did you have any other discussion?
I'm not satisfied yet, so I'm okay. Still looking.
Well, I move we hold the bill over for a day, until the next meeting.
All right.
If Senator Huber has a problem. Okay. Please check on everything.
What I'm worried about is that they came out last year,
check
the same administration
okay,
came out last year with a hooker in this bill.
Is there any objection
move
to
that? We'll hold over next meeting.
I think it's mighty good. We had all kinds of testimony.
Mr. Chairman, under the uniform rules, if the legislature operates under, I would move that at this time we take up Senate Bill 69.
It's in order.
You bet.
Okay.
Jackson.
69.
That must be none of the above, isn't it?
Yes, none of the above, yeah.
We're going to have a vote.
Just as I available comments.
Senator Katula said it was in order.
It is. Under the uniform rules, it is, yeah. Mr. Chairman. I'm not.
I know you're not.
So I would ask.
Call for the question.
Call for the question, yeah.
Okay.
Raise a hand. Let's have a voice vote.
The roll call.
What's the motion? It's before us. I'd have to have a motion.
I did, sir. I asked it to be brought up as.
Okay, it's brought up. Now how?
The next order of business.
Okay.
Senate Bill 69.
Does anybody want copies of it before we discuss it?
I have a suspicion what it is.
Well, do you want us to have the staff bring the copies of the bill before us?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to know the title of it.
Okay, we'll...
You can read it by title only.
We'll recess. Go get...
It's the ABC or none of the above, and I just wanted to bring it up for discussion, at least.
Well, let's have it before us, then.
Well, I didn't know if...
He wants to move it before us, and we got to have a vote on it.
Yeah, that's the whole thing.
Right, it's going to... Senator Bradley wants to see what it is.
All right, so then we got to vote
see
to say. Okay.
Well, I vote.
I can already smell the tar and feather pot outside from my district. They're already coming close.
Well, I have a really an intense interest in landlord tenants right now, but my absolute primary interest is in this bill. And once I get this on my mind, I would probably have
amenable to others.
Any kind of time to vote the landlord tenant bills.
They got half of the world coming up here tomorrow and Friday.
Who's that?
Landlord.
Oh.
Landlords, I don't know about tenants.
What have you got? You got
the newspaper, they got them shook up. Once in a while, the media does some good, you know?
I keep thinking he's trying to be pornographic. He brings up 69.
I got it.
Mr. Chairman?
Senator Huber.
I'd move to ask unanimous consent we pass it out due pass.
It isn't even before us.
Just getting ready to table it.
I thought it was before us.
Point of order.
No, it's, we're looking at it, looking it over, we'll have some discussion on it.
Well, I really, Mr. Chairman, with all due respect, and I don't understand what the objection is, if we, is it open for discussion this time?
Yes, right, that's it.
I don't know what the objection is to allow the people of this state the opportunity, and if they don't want any of the above, or if they have a clear choice, then they don't have any problem. Now, it would seem to me that if anybody that would be in favor of any proposition, they could still vote yes or no, or make their choice. This is just in those places where they don't have an alternate choice. Where there's no other choice except either A, B, or C, and where there's no opportunity for writing on a bond issue, you have a choice of yes or no. You can either vote for it or against it. For a candidate, you have a choice of John Brown, Tom Jones, or a write-in. You can put in anybody you want. But when you are faced with a proposition that there's no other choice, or you have no other choice, then you're being denied, I think, your constitutional rights. And I don't see what the big fear would be, nor what the objection would be, even from the Anchorage area. And this certainly has nothing specifically to do with the capital move, because the capital move has already been decided. The capital site selection has already been decided. And the selection has been made. So I don't see what the bad feeling is, or what the objection would be to that. This is just in the future at some time that we wouldn't again deny the people from all areas of the state to have a choice.
Where has this been used at?
Well,
what other state? What track record do we have? And specifically, you know.
Well, are you going to say by that, Mr. Chairman, are you going to say that by that, that, gee, we should have never went to the moon? Who'd been to the moon before?
No, I'm not.
Is that
trying
it? Is that your.
No, I'm not trying to say anything, but I, you know, the one thing that come up before was that, you know, we never had a track record on it. You know, in other words, suppose none of the above won. Then the guy that's in office is in there for another year. Then what happens?
Well, I don't think that's what it says here, Mr. Chairman. That
ain't what it says.
It says, in the case of a proposition that requires a choice by the voters other than for or against, provision shall be made on a ballot for a vote to be written in by the voter.
I'm talking about on page 3.
What does it say on page 3?
It says, whenever a vote of none of the above under section 35 and 8 of this chapter succeeds at the general election, a special election shall be held not later than 1 year after the certification of the vote.
Oh, I see what you're talking about. All right. What about it?
Yeah. Well, you know, that.
Well, maybe
it may run, you know, there may be problems with.
You forced us to read all of page 3.
What would be the problem, sir?
Well, I don't know whether there might.
That's so you don't kill the issue. If the voters vote, if it says we shall. We shall have the proposition of having the railroad go to Nenana or Big Delta, and if the vote goes for none of the above, then within a year you got to have another election to determine where the hell
I'm
it will go.
Well, I'm specifically referring
instead of killing it
to a candidate.
It ain't referring to a candidate.
Yes, it does. No candidate or choice
right.
presented at an election in right. which a vote of none of the above succeeds right. shall be presented
that's
to
correct.
The voters at a special election.
Right, that's correct.
So. That means that the guy would continue in office until there's another election. Now, there may be constitutional problems.
That's not correct, sir.
Well, that's the way I interpret it.
No, there isn't any constitutional problem with it either, sir.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like to call your attention to the fact that Senate Bill number 69 is identical to Senate Bill number 24, which is filed by myself. So I am a supporter of 69 that you have before you. It's an identical bill.
Okay, any other discussion?
I would.
If you are, if perhaps I see what your I see what your objection, and if that is your is if your objection there is a valid objection, and I think that it has a measure of validity in that you do have an opportunity to vote for somebody other than those who have filed, if you have a write-in. If you object to that, perhaps you could change or you could eliminate the portion that deals with candidates themselves.
Mr. Chairman, I would move an amendment to Senator Ray's motion to bring this up this time. I would move that we have a hearing set on this bill, and it can be any time that you want it. 10 days, give notice of hearing then.
You heard the motion.
Within a reasonable period of time, short period of time. Just enough to get out the information.
No objections.
Is there any objection to setting this for hearing?
Sure. Yes, I object to it because the objection is that it's a patently, it's a vacillation, it's a time to eliminate the opportunity to see that the bill goes, and it will be duly noted and recorded.
Well, Senator Ray, you know, I did recognize your motion under the uniform rules.
Well, I understand
and,
that, sir.
And we did bring it out, but
I understand
Senator Katula does make a point because of the very nature of your motion, it means that the public wasn't aware that we were going to consider it, and I'm sure that what Senator Katula, well, I can't speak for him, but I would interpret his meaning to mean that he would want the public to have the ample opportunity to respond.
I think Senator Ray is going to have the opportunity of getting this for a vote before the Senate. I don't have any doubt whatsoever.
When you say that, is we're being procrastinators in the simple thing, is that you know what this bill does. It's the same as I do, because you had a chance to vote on it last year, and it did pass the Senate last year. So those people who say, well, the people don't know what the vote is, it was very, very prominently displayed in all the news media of the state, and it's the same bill, and it's the same proposition. And unfortunately, it did not pass the House.
Today is what?
It fell within one vote or so, not passing the House.
Okay, Senator Katula?
I'd still like to place my motion, but put it to a time certain, a hearing within 10 days.
Okay, within 10 days?
Before you get tied up in the motion, I'd like to make an observation about the bill. You mentioned its undesirability, I believe, Ed, when you were talking about candidates. You're talking a specific, you know, you're relating it to what you see in your district, which is a single-member district, again, isn't that?
No.
Well, it's a very small-member district.
Oh, it's one of the biggest districts in the state.
Brad and I both run it.
Huh?
It's a two-member district, so that's one-tenth of the state population.
In the case in Fairbanks, yet, see, where we do have the largest multi-member districts left.
Yes, you do.
It does give people an opportunity to say they don't want any of those rascals. Now, that's what it amounts to. It gives a person who wants to throw his vote away and say he doesn't want to vote for any of those six representatives or either of those two senators should have the right to do that.
Well,
if he is the winner, then
already have it.
A special election should be called.
Senator Bradley hasn't spoken.
Mr. Chairman, he can accomplish the same thing by not voting at all.
He can always write in.
Oh, he can write in. Write in or not vote at all.
I don't object to that on a candidate. I think perhaps that is too innovative, and I didn't realize that they had done that at that particular time. I really didn't.
I think that the thing before us probably end up in being for propositions only or something like that.
That's all I'm interested in is correcting a shortcoming in the election code at this particular time.
You've heard the motion, and I you know, if it's within 10 days, I guess we could be defensive and say a week from today. You know, that's seven days.
Okay.
And
Call for a question.
Been called for? Okay, hearing no objection. And Paul, we'll schedule this and we'll get the word out that we'll have a hearing 1 week from today on it.
Very good.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Appreciate that.
Is Senator Malone going to...
We didn't hear...
Senator Cotton?
Well, I got... Cotton did send me
Senator Cotton?
Representative Cotton.
5 years from now.
did send me a little missile here.
What, you got a bill coming out?
Yeah, Sam's got a bill.
Which way?
It's 188.
Does he have anybody testify on it?
Well, I'll read what he has here.
You guys approve this $5 million for Pioneer's home.
I put a do not pass on, didn't I?
Christ.
You wouldn't even vote on it.
Well, no, I wouldn't vote on it. I wasn't here when the testimony was given.
Well, we can bring it back to committee.
Oh,
you know, it's the same old deal. It's the finance committee that gets the judgments on it at any rate. You know, how much do we ever get to say on it anyway?
Except to sit on it. Sit on it.
No, I just said no. It's stupid.
Bill, you're being holier than thou. We've been doing that for years.
Not me. I never
Okay, let's get back to...
I can't find the bill, sir. What is it, 188?
188, House bill.
Where is it?
Should be in your packet. It's...
It's in those paper packet here.
Anyway, the section one of this bill provides that when requested by a major political party, the lieutenant governor is required to appoint up to 5 registration officials from each major political party for any precinct containing more than 250 voters.
You're going to have a chance to vote on ABC. Put this baby out. Put this baby out, little pal. All you have to do is just take a look at the title. Just take a look at the numbers. 15?
Huh? He's got 3 or 4 coming in on voter registration.
What's that?
Mm-hmm. Mr. President.
Title 15.
Title 15, that's exactly where none of these...
I think we ought to have them over here. I would move that we hold these 2 bills over till next meeting, too.
Okay.
By the way,
well, I have one problem.
Yes, sir.
Sam's from my district and... Senator Cattell.
I would move that the 2 voter registration and the time for closing bills be held over till a week from Tuesday at the same time that the other legislation comes up.
We have
all
be
on one
package. Should all be in one deal. Maybe we can
get the whole thing together.
Mr. Chairman, I also ask, being that I disagree with one item on Bill's bill, I would ask that the other bill with a lower number be scheduled and brought up at the same time.
Same topic.
Senate Bill 24, which is my bill on the same subject. The only disagreement I have with Bill's bill is that I believe that it should apply to candidates as
mine
well.
Does.
As to
mine
issues.
Does.
I move,
and no,
Mr.
It
President.
Doesn't.
I
you're
withdraw
give
my
up,
motion.
And I'm not.
Mr. Chairman, I withdraw my motion, and I'll resubmit a motion if I have the floor.
Senator Cattell.
I move that the bill referred to by Senator Huber and Senator Bill Reyes, Bill 69, House Bill 188, and House Bill 84 all be taken up a week from today at the hearing that you will make notation of and send out the...
The number you didn't give was 24.
24.
Senate Bill 24.
Okay, now that... does that include the House bills?
Yeah, the 2 House bills and the 2 Senate bills on the same subject, approximately.
Now, I object to holding Sam's bill.
Further question. Call for the question.
I call for the question. I object.
Well,
I move we adjourn until next session.
At least you say, I don't know.
You can tell Sam that I got beat 4-1, okay?
Yeah, we'll take the heat.
Arrogant bastards.
But I would like to ask one question on this, although it's consummated and it's not before us now. Our 188, does this mean that anybody other than those 5 cannot be a registrar? It doesn't say, unless it's the statutes, it says.
Well, we've held it up, so we can question. All I have here is it provides...
Suppose you have some people that you... That,
the meeting's adjourned.
Mm-hmm, sure. That you, want to be a registrar, or in your district... I move Senate Bill 141 out with individual recommendation.
Okay.
Committee substitute. Mr. Chairman, I move that we adopt committee substitute, move it out with individual recommendation.
Okay. Any objections? Hearing no objections, so ordered.
good one. You need to sign it.
Okay. Do pass quickly, huh?
How are you?
Nothing's changed, has it?
My God, are you here for the Alaska plan or the limited entry commission?
Nope. Here for a bill by Senator Ray and another by Senator Huber.
Oh.
24 and 69.
Good. You're here for 69? I thought that was a pornographic statement Ray was making on the floor just to be wise for the first 4 or 5 times he moved it. Thank you very much.
Okay.
I moved. There's two others. Get these out if you don't care.
Okay.
I move that Senate Bill 228 be put out with individual recommendation. It's $50,000 for the Alaska plan of our good and desirable and lovely administration.
Okay. And here, do I hear an objection?
They're short of money.
Hearing no objection, then.
I brought it up. I should have sat on it. I should have vetoed it like he did some of my things last year.
Okay. What is this?
You want to run for governor, Thomas? I got $1,000 for you.
You do?
That's right. You'd be a good governor.
How far do you think that would get me?
That's as much as you can give. You got a $200-300 million. I've been reading the corner about you. Wendell Phillips.
Okay, what else did you have?
Senator, you spend your own money for the rest of them.
You've got more money than Elmer Rasmussen. You can laugh because you're richer than Elmer Rasmussen and all these bums around here. That's great.
Senator,
but hell, I would wish I was, I'll tell you that.
Did you have another one you wanted?
I move, Mr. Chairman, I would like to move Senate Bill 117 as amended, which is changing to 215. She's got that wrong. How much is this? 203,400, right?
Excuse me, Senator. The change, there are three separate items in that bill. Only one of them is the entry commission. And I think the figure that you're reading is a total for all three items.
Well, now, you've got the amendment wrong because she says to page 1, line 10, delete all right. All right, you're correct. All right, I've read it wrong. Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 117. I will. Mr. Chairman, I would move the amendment to Senate Bill 117 and ask to go out with individual recommendation upon adoption of the amendment.
Okay, discussion? Any objections?
I don't like it. I'm against the bill.
Vote against it, I agree. I was going to amend it with the Sackett amendments, but since Sackett's bill is passed.
I don't believe in voting it out, but you got the votes to vote it out, so vote it out.
You got the votes?
I don't know.
May not happen.
That's that supplemental appropriation that I'm...
He's going to have to foreclose on his old house if we don't vote it out, because the kid's on the street.
Yeah, well, I would get it.
You know, you were talking off the top of your head and shooting blanks the other day, and you caused a serious problem. Orsini went up there and cut out the intelligence unit and the internal affairs units of the state troopers.
I told him to cut out the secretaries and the extra
stuff. He didn't do it. He cut out the
Well,
out
he
the
didn't do what I told him to do.
He cut out the intelligence units and he cut out the internal affairs.
Yeah,
that
but
comes
he is
natural with Orsini.
1 minute, though. You heard what I said. Go listen to tapes. I said, take the clerks and you can take a couple of the generals with them, as far as I'm concerned. But I didn't tell him to cut out the intelligence units. In fact, I supported it. In no way did I tell him to cut it out.
Don't.
Well, Orsini can't hear me, and you don't know what I'm saying. Why? That's good. Where's none of the above?
Don't.
Now, well, you can become a hero by putting them back in.
Where do I?
Ta-da, ta-da.
Yeah, hey, I'm waiting. What am I, number 19 on the Finance Committee?
Mr. Chairman, ta-da. You need a vote on that bill. I object to it going out the supplemental approval.
Well, we got to do pass on it.
Well, I know you have, but you haven't brought out whether it will go out or not.
Well, there's too many guys signing it now.
Well, I didn't hear an objection.
I object.
You can bring it up for reconsideration or resend.
I object.
Is this another one?
No, that's 141. We need your signature. That's my important bill. We finally got it in shape.
I've got to do away with it. Got too many Indians. Too many chiefs.
You got all colonels and generals and Jesus.
You don't know what they got.
I do too.
I'd be very careful when you get back home. There'd be a big sign there with a flashing light. You had all crime in this district happen here, and it'll be shining right at your house.
I'm glad Orsini gave me that. He's never paid any attention to me on anything else. I can't get a bill out of his committee. Why would you suppose that he'd pay attention to me on that subject, except to use me as the whipping boy?
You got up and passed the resolution, didn't you?
Oh, that's a good one.
I remember that.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we have four bills that up today that have to do with Title 15, the voter registration, the House bill, committee substitute for House Bill 188. Then we have committee substitute for House Bill 84 amended, addresses the time for opening and closing the polls, and then we have the two Senate bills, Senate Bill 69 and Senate Bill 24, that deals with the provisions of none of the above votes on candidates for state office.
What are we considering now, Mr. Chairman?
Well, I wanted to find out, well, the Lieutenant Governor was here, how many that he wanted to testify.
Here?
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, I think I'm here. Well, Mr. Chairman, Senate Bill 69 and 24, mm-hmm. and also Patty Ann Polly here, and Mary Jo Hobbs, are interested in the opening and closing the polls.
Okay, we'll take that one up then. We'll take up the one on opening and closing the polls. That would be
House
Bill 84. We'll take that up first. This was Malone's bill. And it would amend the law, as I understand it, that municipalities may by ordinance close the polls for municipal elections at 8 o'clock in the evening. Would you care to? Why don't you just go up and sit up on that end, Ms. Polly?
In volume, these people, men and women, just moaned and groaned. They said, no, 12 hours is plenty long. And then there were several who are from very small precincts who said that they would even like to close before 8 o'clock because they didn't have enough work to do. And of course, that is illegal. However, they did say that you're going to lose a great number of your people who work on election boards if you have the polls closed any longer because the days are too long. They feel the reason for this is that with your 12-hour opening and the fact that employers must let employees off during the day to vote, that if a person can't get to the polls within that 12-hour period, then the League of Women Voters, and there are others who do have representatives who can go either to their home, the hospital, the jails, or whatever, but they feel that that 12 hours is adequate, and they don't feel that the time they take afterwards counting ballots, and of course the areas where I was having these workshops were all paper ballots. They just don't want it any longer, so I thought I would let you know how many people really are against it. In Petersburg, there were six at the workshop. They were all against it, and there were seven in Wrangell, and they were all against on the ballots. Thank you, gentlemen.
Okay. See, the polls now are open at
8 to 8.
At 8. It's 8 to 8, 12 hours, and this would extend it to 9. But notwithstanding the provisions of this...
Is it 7-9 on this bill?
It was, and we compromised to rather the...
It's now 8-9?
It's 8-9, just one more hour at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But I think that...
I think it's stupid.
Everybody agrees that...
They opened it up in the morning last night. Opened it up earlier instead of staying awake later.
Well, the original bill called for an hour earlier and an hour later. Take care of both ends of the blanket.
Yeah, if a guy hasn't got a chance to vote by 8 o'clock, he isn't going to vote.
But this does allow the municipalities by ordinance to close them, put them back. You know, the law would open them till 9. The municipalities have the option to, I guess, in municipal elections, to close it at 8. Okay, is there anyone else?
Mr. Chairman, I'll just say that it's hard enough sometimes to get people to serve with these tolls, and getting them up an hour earlier, it just makes it all that much more difficult. And there's the argument, too, that those people who like to wait to the last minute are going to wait to the last minute anyway, and you probably will always have lineups when the polls are closed regardless. But it seems to me that it might be reasonable to extend it 1 hour in the evening, try it at least. The next general election, see how it works out.
What is that, a sponsor terms. Substitute?
It's a committee substitute.
Oh, they the committee substitute from the House.
By the Finance Committee.
If
House
you could apply it only to the big areas, such as Anchorage, Fairbanks, where there really is a problem, but you can't do that. So that's where it's going to hurt the state, I think.
Yeah.
You got all those little places that got 15, 20 voters and all that. They all vote within 15 minutes, and then you're going to have them another hour stay there with the polls open?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I vote with individual recommendations.
Well, I wouldn't move it. I wouldn't vote to put it on.
Mr. Chairman, I think Patty Ann has had so much experience at this, we'd rather just ask Ruby on it.
Yes.
Well, I might mention that the reaction from particularly our election board people and the people who keep the polls open are that, my God, another hour. And they just don't want to see this changed at all. They think 12 hours is sufficient. And as Mary Jo did mention, in the fact that employers must allow people to have time off during the day if they don't have 2 hours in which to go vote. And I think it's really rare where people are not able to go vote during the hours that the polls are open now. Another problem that we see is, as Senator Ray mentioned, the small precincts where we have 15 or 20 people. Those election boards still must stay there. 12 hours now under this bill would be 13 hours, and they just think we've lost our minds as it is.
You're going to lose them.
So yes.
It's going to happen, and you're going to find it. It's increasingly difficult to get people to be election judges and conduct the elections themselves. And if you put another hour on them, they're going to say, hey, you know, find somebody else. This gives me a damn good excuse not to show up anymore, so find somebody else.
Well, okay, we don't have the votes to
put I don't want to sit on the speaker's bill.
Pardon?
I don't want to sit on the speaker's bill.
That's well,
speaker's bill?
If you want yes, it's
my
law.
That's my
law. If you want to put it out, you can put it out.
I'd like to put it out with individual recommendations.
Is there any objection?
You can get the two in there and put it out. I don't have any objection.
Okay, we'll put it out with individual recommendations.
Could you already sign? Well, you had enough votes.
He's not here.
Sit there and take the testimony of the people who are experts in that. And then you can put it out and do fast.
That's only two of us that feel that way. I noticed you didn't feel strong enough to put a do not pass on it, Bill.
Sent a letter over. Section 1, according to his letter, provides that when requested by a major political party, the lieutenant governor is required to appoint up to 5 registration officials from each major political party for any precinct containing more than 250 voters. Section 2 provides that the lieutenant governor shall, upon request of a major political party or receipt of a petition signed by 5% of registered voters in a precinct, appoint temporary registration officials for a period beginning 150 days prior to a general election and ending the day after the election, and that these temporary officials shall be paid not more than $1 for each registration or change of registration.
I'd like to hear what the election people have to say.
What's the reason for this? Why is it necessary? What does it do?
I just read the letter.
Didn't tell me. I wasn't listening.
You wasn't listening.
Could you give it to me just in general? Could you just give me a consensus, man?
Well, it's.
I was reading the bill and cogitating. I didn't realize you were reading the letter. What does he say?
The Section 1
requires
the lieutenant governor to appoint up to 5 registration officials from each major political party for any precinct containing more than 250 voters. That's, what it does.
What do they have now?
I want to know. I'd like to hear
how many they
testimony.
Have now.
Let's take some testimony. Sam's not here.
Statewide, we have 1,000 registrars.
I mean,
in a precinct of over 250, what do you presently have?
Anywhere from 2 to 4 or 5. I think in setting out the numbers in this particular bill, that in having 5 registrars in a precinct, say with 300-350 registered voters, I mean, it becomes a point of where you have more registrars than you do voters, practically. However, in a precinct where you have 1,000 to 1,500 registered voters, I don't think 5 is too many at all. Perhaps there could be some adjustment made in the number of this requirement.
Do you need an adjustment now?
Pardon?
Do you need an adjustment now? And in cases where you don't have enough, what's the reason that you don't have enough?
We add more if we don't have enough.
We don't have any reason.
We've had
somebody just thinks that we didn't have enough in a certain precinct or two. You want to put it in the law.
I guess you may not want to answer this. Have the people that sponsored this bill asked for more registrars to be appointed in some districts and been turned down by your office?
I don't think Mr. Cotton has. I don't recall. We've heard from some others who wanted to add on more and more and more to the point that it was really far too many registrars for the voters we were determined.
Yes.
It gets into the business. Some people want to get out and register them as, you know, either Republicans or Democrats. You get into that sort of thing.
And you got temporary registration officials are going to. Jesus.
Part of the problem.
150 days? You're going to pay these people 150 days?
They would still be paid just on a number that they would turn in.
Was it 25 cents a registration or what?
50.
50.
And the regular registration officials, they get paid just on the signatures, right?
Yes. The problem came about in the fact that just prior to the closing of registration, we had requests for like 150 new registrars, which didn't even give us time to train them and tell them how to fill out the forms. And so I turned down the request.
You'd have at least 10 registrars in any precinct that had 250 voters.
That's correct.
I think the meat of the bill really is the temporary registrars, isn't it?
I think it is, yes.
That they want to be able to, each party, put up to 5 in any precinct and get them out pounding the street trying to get all the Democrats or all the Republicans registered.
That's basically it, yes.
That's the real meat of the bill.
Apparently is.
But it's a two-edged sword, of course. You don't know which party is going to win
out. It's a two-edged sword. But particularly, I think, is also addressed to the new citizen and the newly
eligible young person. It has to be directed mostly to those two classes. The transient citizen or new citizen or...
Well, Mr. Chairman, we don't really think it has to be mandatory in the law. It's been working pretty well over the years.
And, you know, as a general policy, we do appoint, and I'm sorry I didn't bring a list of registrars with me, which I do have. In the larger precincts, we do have 4 and 5 and 6. In some instances, MNE has 9 registrars already. But as Senator Huber mentioned, we have temporary registrars for, I'm sure, as much of it as was pointed at.
Well, I hate to see registration get too partisan, because I can recall being turned down by one registrar in Island Homes telling me if I wanted to see the list that I was asking to look at, that was a supplemental list, the new one, to go see my Democrat friends downtown. The registrar in Island Homes, and I'm not going to name her at this moment because you know who I mean.
Mr. Chairman.
That's 1970.
If we can give Mr. Huber this, pay attention to what we're telling him. I would move that we strike Section 1, renumber Section 2 to Section 1, and put the bill out in the recommendations.
I heard the motion.
Well, my problem is having the bill before me in my packet.
You
let me
mine.
See a copy of it for a minute.
You got mine.
Strike Section 1.
Renumber Section 2 and put it out in the recommendations.
Okay. Any discussion on it?
No. None whatsoever. I move for the adoption of the amendment.
Okay. Any objection to the amendment? Hearing no objection, carries unanimously.
Okay. As amended.
Okay. To pass with amendments, okay.
Going to be, is that an amendment or is that to be a text amendment?
No, I just say it's going to be a text amendment.
Okay.
Down to 69.
We can just address both 69 and 24.
Well,
they're similar, but we'll start with 69.
69, if you would, because I have an amendment to this. 69.
Okay, well,
if we're talking about 69?
Yeah, Lowell, okay. Did you want to?
Well, let me make
okay.
My amendment first. On page 2, line 4.
Page 2.
Mm-hmm. Strike all the new language on line 4. And on page 3, line 5, strike candidate 4.
Now that's just line 4, new language.
Yeah. So it says, the certificate includes the number of votes cast for each candidate, 4 against each proposition, none of the above votes for
are you guys getting these amendments?
Cast for a choice, but yeah. In other words, inadvertently, they included the candidates, and I didn't want them included in my bill. They're included in John's, but they're not in mine. Because I figure if you go through a primary and you're chosen by the majority of the voters in the primary, that's good enough. They can vote on you. They can write in anything they want. They still have the, right now they have the right to put in a write-in candidate, so it's, I would say, it's superfluous as far as my meetings. So that would be the difference between our bills. His includes candidates.
Yep, mine includes candidates.
Could I just ask, Mr. Chairman, To follow that along, wouldn't you have to also make that amendment over page one, in section one as well?
Where's that?
Well, like there on line 14, 15, 16, and through there. Provision should be made for avoiding no party candidates and none of the above votes within each section.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that also cover a candidate the way it's written now? I'm not sure, but you might want to just check that out, too.
I don't think so, Lowell.
The point you're after there, Bill, is the one that bothered me about some... I was worried, at least, you know, in the beginning there about a gubernatorial candidate.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's taken care of by the... What was your change on page three, Bill?
I didn't get that down.
On line five, just eliminate the candidate or, so it says, no choice presented in an election which the voters, none of the above succeeds if we presented the voters in a special election in the first section. No, that's okay, Lowell.
All right. Mr. Chairman, if...
Yes.
If I might, the candidate thing is then taken care of if you take Bill's amendments. The state constitution covers the election of the governor. I thought for a while you could have a period there before you could have a special election when you wouldn't know who the governor was. But our constitution clearly says... Article 3, Section 3, the candidate receiving the greatest number of votes shall be governor, the candidate. And that doesn't include none of the above. Another thought I had here, just a question. We know that the soonest we could carry off a special election, well, if you're not talking about candidates, it probably would be 45 to 60 days. We've just been through this in that special election in District 16.
We got 1 year.
I know it says that long. You might not want to wait that long, though. Well, without candidates, you probably wouldn't...
You want to shorten that up?
No, sir, but I'll tell you another thought here. If you had to have a special statewide election, say it was a proposition, mm-hmm. and you had to get it out all over the state all over again, you'd run into a cost, I guess, of, right this year, we figured about $285,000. So there'd be no way to really guess ahead as to... whether you're just going to have a special in a district or a statewide special election. I don't know how you could anticipate the possible cost of doing it. That's, if you could somehow, we could come in with a supplemental
request. How many times do you think this is going to happen in your lifetime?
I have no idea. I really don't know. Voters are getting kind of ornery.
Well, if the voters are getting that ornery, then they know what it's going to cost them, Lowell, and they let it cost them. What the hell's the difference?
Yeah. Well, as long as we can get the money, whoever's running elections...
We get the money.
...to carry it out.
We get the money. We have to give you the money for elections.
Yeah.
You know, that would be very hard. I amended my own bill, Senator Curtula, to eliminate the... provision of none of the above on a candidate because it inadvertently that was in there and I didn't want that. I've never ever had that idea. So
he must have taken my word to draft your bill with
it. I don't know, John, but it was never, I have never ever used that approach at all. Never.
Mr. Chairman, on candidates, I don't think you could make it apply to the presidential or congressional races either.
No.
Federal law, I think, or the U.S. Constitution.
It would. Doesn't this say, doesn't 24 say, isn't this, this is only meant to apply to state candidates in my bill, and you're talking about that. Mm-hmm. I had intended to apply to issues and candidates in the state.
But the general election ballot, the way it's written there, I think 1515030 applies to the whole works.
Mm-hmm. But you have to put what's on the general election ballot in federal offices in accordance with federal law, don't you?
Yeah, that's just what I was saying. I don't think you could have a non-combo in their races.
But would you, if we were going to adopt 24?
You see, John's is different than mine in that none of the above calls for a special election, but mine says none of the above and provides a place to write in a choice. And if that choice succeeds, then that's the, you don't need no election, you don't need anything.
Right, I know what you mean.
Senator Huber, one of the things the Department of Law did ask me to indicate in relation to this, not about as it relates to the candidate, was that technically we would be adding another qualification to those qualifications that are already in our constitution.
We knocked section one out of Sam's.
And they felt that that's what you.
A qualification of a candidate by none of the above?
Yes. For instance, if the candidate's name.
Was none of the above?
We were not allowing it to go back on the
ballot.
Mr.
None of the above, yeah.
Go ahead.
Anyway, we're saying that he cannot run again, or she cannot run into special election. We're adding a qualification to the holding of that office, which according to our constitution, we can't do.
You mean under our, this is something I need to learn. Under, if we provided by statutes for runoff elections, we would be unconstitutional because we would be barring the people who were not the two top winners?
No, I don't think that's in terms of.
In the new subsection, it says no candidate or choice presented in an election which a vote of none of the above succeeds shall be presented to the voters in a special election. So that's a new bill too.
That would be the same as being eliminated, though, in a general election for which there was a runoff called for. That was like the Nels Anderson election. Nobody could run in the Nels Anderson election on a party again, could they?
No, they couldn't.
You would be saying here that candidate could not go as a write-in candidate.
Not yet.
In the case of Nels Anderson, he couldn't go.
That, well, but that, what would you be doing in the case of a runoff election? In a runoff election, you only have the two people.
I removed the candidates in mind because I don't.
So
this is on a proposition.
That was what the Department of Law indicated to me, that they felt there was a problem there, and they based it on the court case which came out of Senator Greening's write-in back in 1968.
That isn't the captain move. It's just a.
Let's take it one at a time.
Remember that?
I remember it very well.
He was defeated in a primary, and they said anyway, the law read at that time that he could not run as a write-in candidate for the general election.
But he did.
But he did and could legally, according to the courts. And they feel that that case applies to this. We're limiting the.
I remember that one well. I helped circulate stickers. Stickler greedy. Unsuccessfully, of course.
What's your testimony then on the amended version?
Well, Mr. Chairman, I don't have any objections to the amended version. Mm-hmm. It was the candidate thing that I saw that was really a problem because of the federal constitution and our own constitution. And just what Penny asked about it.
I will call your attention, though, on 24, that it is an act relating to the provision for none of the above votes on candidates for state office and propositions. So it is definitely excluding federal office on 24.
Still, it could not apply to the governor of the country because of our own state constitution. Article 3, Section 3.
Yes, well, that would be the most, you know, that would be the most, one of the, probably the most important place to apply it if you were going to apply the none of the above theory. It would be if you did.
But if that happened, then we couldn't mount a special election, no way, for 60 days. The term expires December 2nd. Look what would happen.
I see.
Who's going to be sitting there?
So if you did do that, you'd have to take that provision out.
You'd also have to amend the Constitution. Because it clearly says the candidate receiving the greatest number of votes shall be governor. And if it's none of the above, he's not a candidate.
Be tough, though, if Fidel Castro made it on the write-in, wouldn't it? Under the Constitution.
Mr. Chairman.
Or Mickey Mouse.
Senator Ray.
Upon reconsideration and going through this again, there's one other thing. I'm in agreement now with the Lieutenant Governor that on line 15 and 16, remove the new language and put in back the old language. In other words, provision shall be made for voting for write-in and no party candidates within each section. Because if you put none of the above in, then you'll have a provision in there for none of the above for candidates again. You're right. Well, I see. I was going on it. I thought reading up at the other part about separate sections, and I missed that one. So we eliminate that amendment there and put it back to the original language.
You got that, Paul?
I would move and ask unanimous consent.
I have a question while Lieutenant Governor's here.
Yeah.
Now, on the balance of the legislation, say we have a new, another initiative comes up and it states, we will, some type of repealer in the initiation of the statement, and it says we will again choose between Willow, Juneau, Fairbanks, and none of the above for the capital. And a majority of the people in the vote in the state vote none of the above on the initiative. Obviously, the capital is Juneau under that circumstance, and still, if Juneau was on, and it was also voted off, where does that put us?
I heard you had that cured, that you named your back pasture none of the above.
Not too bad an answer, but I'm curious.
Well, I think in that case, according to section
obviously, we are in Juneau. But still, if Juneau was part of the alternate selection and you voted for none of the above, that would bring it up to still a further initiative, perhaps. I don't know where we are on that.
I think Section 3 would tell you what you have to do.
If anything happened like that, my friend, I would gleefully give you my house, my car, and take your wife off your hands.
Really?
I
have a bank account, too.
Yeah,
you
have a bank account, too. You know nothing like that ever happened in your lifetime.
But is Section 3, we no longer have a Section 3,
do we? Oh, yes, you do. You only took two words out of it. You just took out too much, Mr. Chairman.
I just took out candidate or.
Yeah, I took out the whole section. That's
it. No, he don't need
it. A special election shall be held not later on the year of certification. No. So it goes right back again then. Election shall be presented to voters in a special selection in this section.
Bill would hope to get the right names in there that time.
You would think so.
Well, now at this stage, then this could perhaps be directed to the Mr. Chairman. We would say then, to make none of the above an effective instrument in regard to the capital program, well, you'd have to say, we will retain Willow for the capital site. Or none of the above.
Who's going to do that?
Well, there's bound to be an initiative next time. If I was sitting here at the capital site, I would introduce an initiative.
Shall we retain Willow as a capital site?
Yeah.
It would be yes or no. Then you've got a clear choice. Shall we retain the capital in Juneau, or shall we move it to Willow?
That's true.
And so they vote none of the above.
And they put none of the above in there. Right?
Then in another year you're back at it again.
Why? No, you aren't.
Juneau and Willow are out then.
Juneau and Willow are out. Both of them are out at the next election.
Well, then you have the initiative.
Then you got Anchorage where the capital would be, okay?
Then you would change the initiative so as to
you don't
eliminate
change
the Juneau choice.
You don't change the initiative. You don't change the initiative.
No, but you'd write a new initiative. You wouldn't change that initiative.
What my bill allows you to do is to, if you don't want any of the above, it allows you to put in. You can either put none of the above and leave it empty, which means that you don't like any of them and you don't want any spot, or you can just write in your choice.
I don't see how Bill Ray's bill can influence the upcoming elections on capital move. If it had been in effect at the last election where we was given three choices, all of them different than where it presently is, it could have had an effect, but I can't see how
there's
it would
no way
in the future.
I know how it affected Billy Parker, that's all I can say.
Well, that's not correct either, because Billy Parker and Catherine Ostrowski, one was a pro mover and the other was an anti mover, and they both ran in the same district, and one beat the other by 6 votes. Now, don't tell me that this was a big, heavy deal. Something else was a contributing factor. the pro capital mover lost to the anti capital mover by 6 votes. Come on.
No, that was it. Bill Parker won in the primary. The anti capital mover won in the primary, but then he lost the general.
Well, Mr. Chairman, if Senator Ray is right, I wouldn't have any problems with this, but I haven't properly researched it because it's been your committee,
it's
and I'd like to check.
My intent, and I'll tell you truthfully, I know no way possible that this could influence a capital move vote or a change in the sheet other than a...
Well...
It would allow you... The only thing this would allow you, the only possible thing, was if a choice of a write-in vote other than Juno or Willis. Suppose that an initiative, now I don't know even what the initiative is going to say. Suppose the initiative come up and it was a choice between Willow and Juno. And maybe the people don't want that. They have an opportunity to write in. And if the write-in wins, then the write-in has adios Juno and Willow. So you're eliminating, they're both there to be eliminated, but you can't eliminate one other than the fact, unless you make a plurality vote for the other.
Well, what you do, I presume, then, would be that those in Juno would vote for Juno. Those out of Juno that weren't sure of either would vote for none of the above, and Juno would be retained, probably.
Well, did you want to do a little more research on this?
Which is all right with me, if that's the way it turns out, huh?
Did you want
to... I'd like to move it to be held over till next meeting, Friday. Okay. Which is April 1st.
Well, I don't think you got enough
votes.
That's true. And then we don't have enough votes to put it out.
That's true. April 1st.
Now,
you're liable not to have enough people for one of your bills when you want. You're not to have a quorum. You realize that?
Aren't you willing, the way this is modified, to put it out with individual recommendations?
Yes, if it's exactly as the testimony, but I also know I should have studied this.
Listen.
I haven't even read it.
I tell you truthfully, Jay, there's nothing on the capital move. This has nothing to do except incidental to a capital move. It's to provide that never in the future will we ever be faced without a constitutional choice of our own self. In other words, I'm not going to be put in the position of having 6 or 7 people sit around and make a choice that I have to live up to. And that's exactly what we did. How many people were on the Capital Site Selection Committee? We had no other choice except what they told us.
It's true.
Well, I don't want to be that way.
Well,
I don't
was
want to
put
be
out
with
the fact that I couldn't write in a site without invalidating my ballot.
That's what I was upset about.
Well, wouldn't it be reasonable, though, to let...
Because
Jay,
if it comes out exactly
the
way Bill says it does, and there's no problem with me.
I mean, we're just going to deadlock and...
Ready.
Well,
we'd have to adjourn.
I mean, isn't that reasonable or
no?
No, it's not.
No, you've had all week to do all this, Mr. Chairman, and I thought that's what you
were
doing.
Well, this request comes from Curtula.
I'm just as strong for it as you're opposed to it, you know.
Well, I'm just suggesting that, you know, it's a reasonable
request.
He's
the swing vote.
We should have called House Bring Bradley here. He makes a good swing vote. I can tell you that. He'll swing here all night. It seems to me that we ought to have till Friday to check this.
Well, I'm
Mr.
hearing you, but
Chairman,
that has to...
We should present to you, gentlemen, moderation. You could at least let it go out with individual recommendations. We've been that way all through the meeting here.
Friday seems an awful...
It goes to rules, you know. Now, you've been playing around with this long enough now.
I just looked at
it. Okay, I know how to. I'll tell you right point blank, both of you guys. You know, if you want to.
Let's make.
You want to pull out the sword. You know, he who swings the sword can get.
Let's take a short recess and go up to Senator Curtula's office a minute, and then we'll reconvene.
Okay.
you and me.
Oh, all right.
This is what's known as a caucus.
Mr. Chairman, I don't think we have anything more to add. We'll leave at this point.
We hold for time certain Friday at sometime between 1:30 Friday, Senate Bill number 69, Friday, April 1st.
Okay.
for our purposes of research.
Mr. Chairman,
is there any objection?
I would move that we take Senate Bill 24 and put it in the bottom of the stack.
Right. Definitely postpone.
In case we need it at another time, it'll still be there.
Right. Okay.
Call for it.
Any objection?
Unanimous consent.
Unanimous consent is asked for. Hearing no objection, so ordered. Okay, I'm going to bring out Senate Concurrent Resolution 18. Do I hear a motion for individual recs?
I'm willing to go out with unanimous do not pass. That gives it to him.
Does that give it to him?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Sure. It's yours. Then he gets on the floor and he can pick it up then or not.
It was you going to give him all do not passes?
Yeah, unanimous do not pass.
That will get it. That's all
that's
I'm going
right.
to do.
It'll get it out of this committee.
It goes out of the committee.
Okay.
And they can make their motions.
I'm not going to be made a butt of a goddamn joke just because he thinks it's funny.
I didn't think it was too funny either. It was a nice set on, and they threatened him with it, and I said, okay. Pat Rohde come running over to me and said, geez, you better let old Ed. And I said, hey, I'll do anything Ed wants. I sure don't want to screw him up.
Innumerable study groups to make a five-year feasibility study of a 50-year plan.
I mean, what he's doing, and you see how what happened was old Ziegler with his classy. You see the editorial?
Oh,
the
he screwed
paper?
Up on that.
Did you see the editorial in the school
no.
paper?
Uh-huh.
You know, your
brother. Never seen that one.
For 10 cents, I'd give him a new pass.
Come on.
See, I think that's.
I'll give you a dime to sign it. Do not pass. How's that? This is the first announced do not pass thing we've got out. I think that's great. Everybody is.
Where's my dime?
I'm hey, searching.
You gotta see that. Really?
Can I have an
the
IOU?
The editorial at this girl. Yeah,
here,
high school. She said it implied that Juno.
Here's 9 cents left.
To win.
I don't think you keep that. I'll take
we stand adjourned. Thank you, gentlemen.
That was the Jaybird. I'm not kidding you. Yeah. It said it implied that Juno cheated and was.